I've enjoyed going through Philippians, and we're going to be wrapping up today. And it's my practice just to read through the passage that we'll be looking at verse by verse later on. And I like to read it so we get a sense for the whole thing. And so we're going to be just reading Philippians 4, verses 14 through 20. This is where Paul is speaking to the Philippians. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received payment, full payment, and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to tell you a story about little Jimmy. Little Jimmy was lying on a hill in the middle of the meadow on a warm spring day. Puffy white clouds rolled by, and he pondered their shapes. Soon he began to think about God. God, are you really there? Jimmy said out loud. To his astonishment, a voice came from the clouds. Yes, Jimmy, what can I do for you? Seizing the opportunity, Jimmy asked, God, what is a million years like to you? Knowing that Jimmy could not understand the concept of infinity, God responded in a manner to which Jimmy could relate. A million years to me, Jimmy, is like a minute. Oh, said Jimmy. Well then, what's $1 million like to you? $1 million to me, Jimmy, is like a penny. Wow, remarked Jimmy. Then he got an idea. You're so generous, God. Can I have one of your pennies? God replied, sure thing, Jimmy. Just a minute. I hope you got that one. So, I thought I would begin with that because today we're going to talk about money. And money can be a little controversial, and I'm out of my comfort zone this morning. Let me put it that way. All right. But yet, here it is in Philippians, talking about offerings. And that's what we're going to be talking about, offerings. What do offerings look like? Why do we have offerings? And so on. And so that's what we're going to be doing. a little bit of context before we begin looking at these verses. The letter to the Philippians is basically one big thank you note. And he says a number of other things as well, but basically thank you to the Philippians for providing monetary funds for him. Because being under arrest in this kind of situation, he had to provide for his own needs, food, toiletries, etc. He had to do his own, provide his own. And so the Philippians got together an offering, sent it in person through Epaphroditus, and Epaphroditus delivers it. He's the one to go and make purchases and the contact with other people, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, that's their gift. Philippians is one big thank you note. Now, last time we saw how Paul didn't follow the normal etiquette with thank you notes. Remember we said, Paul basically said to him, thanks for the gift, but I didn't need it. A little bit insulting. But he said, I've learned to be content. If you would have given me 10 times as much, I would have taken it, but I'd still be content. If you would have given me nothing, and I'm starving, I'd be content. This is what he's saying. I'm content whatever situation, I can handle it. And so now, to avoid and to counteract that possible misunderstanding, here's where we begin with verse 14. He says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles, okay? So you can kind of sense that he's saying, okay, I hope you're not offended. It was good of you to share, to give me that gift. But now he does something. I don't know if you've ever done this, where you think you might have offended somebody by something you said, and you think, did I hurt their feelings? Should I talk to them? Should I apologize? One of the ways to deal with possibly offending somebody is to kind of butter them up, kind of do the opposite. Okay, that's what Paul's doing now. Look at verses 15 and 16. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. You see how he's buttering them? He says, you Philippians are the best at giving of anybody, hands down. You've given to me right from the beginning, every step that I took. You've been giving me help again and again and again. Great job. That's what he's saying. And I think it's okay that he brags on them, guided by the Holy Spirit here. But now he wants to avoid another possible misunderstanding. The other misunderstanding is he looking for more? He's bragging on us. Could they be saying, no, Paul, why is he saying that? Does he want more from us? Okay, now he has to address that. Next two verses, verses 17 and 18. Not that I desire your gifts, but I desire... What I desire is more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Okay. Enough. I've had more than adequate. He just doesn't want to seem ungrateful. But what he's doing here, right, especially right at the end, is he's saying, okay, it's pleasing to God. God was using you to be a blessing to me. Let me make sure I got the blank here. I think I did a blank. Oh, yeah. God meets others' needs through his people. You see, what he's saying is the Philippians, you have helped me again and again. But this is God's work. See, Paul could be content and say, if you would have given me nothing, I'd be okay. God would meet my needs whatever way he could use you, he could use somebody else. But now you are the ones to be used. Now, let me just pause here. One of the values of giving is that we have the privilege to be used by God to help others. Let me give you a concrete example. Many of you have given to this church and are still giving. There's boxes in the back. There's ways to do it online. I don't feel comfortable doing it online, so I'll just put something in the box. All right. Where does that money go? A number of places. Some of it comes to me. thank you. And all right. It you're being used by God to bless Barb and me. You're being used by God to bless the children that are meeting right now, providing funds for them to learn about Jesus. That's where that money's going. You're being used by God. You're being used by God to provide a place like this that we can worship and sing these wonderful songs with wonderful music. We have the privilege to be used by God. Now, could all of this happen apart from us? Sure. We're not really needed. But we have the privilege to be used by God to bless his church, to bless his people, to bless others. In fact, the special cause this month is for Jesus on Colfax, and I have in my mind people that are being helped right now in Jesus on Colfax because of your giving. We have the privilege to be used by God. Okay, that's one of the reasons that we can be, that we give, just the privilege to be used by God. Okay, now is the area where I'm going to get real uncomfortable. I think my hands are turning sweaty already. And the reason is this. We give in a box, as I say, but here's some money that we haven't given. Right here in my pocket, in my billfold. Here's a debit card. I can make a lot of purchases with this. And if I don't have enough in my checking account, just charge it to Visa. I've got a lot of money and investments somewhere else, a lot more than what I put in my box. Did you know that our giving affects this as well? Has a direct impact on it. What kind of impact? Well, in order to understand what is being said here in this passage, we need to get the background, a little bit of background from the Old Testament. And Malachi 3, verse 10 is a very good one. And yeah, thanks for putting that up there. Malachi 3, verse 10, it's the last book of the Old Testament. And this is where God is speaking to his people. He says, bring the whole tithe, that means 10% of everything you take in, give to me, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. That's the place of worship. That food was given to the Levites and the priests and so on. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. What is God saying here? He's saying, you bring money to my house, bring it to the place of the worship, put it in the box. Watch out. You do that, I in turn will open up heaven, and I'm going to send you a flood of blessings. I'm going to bless you richly. This will fill up. That's what God is saying here. Okay. Now, that concept, Paul picks up in these verses. I'll show you. Verse 15. Let's go back to verse 15. He's talking about how the church has been helping them. But notice towards the end, he says, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. Giving and receiving. Why does he say that? Why not just say in the matter of giving? No, he uses the word giving and receiving. That was a technical bartering term. Have you ever been to Mexico and bought souvenirs in Mexico? First time I did that, that was when we were in Tucson, and we went to, and we were advised when you go across the border and you want to buy something, and the price they charge, never pay the price they charge. Always get them to go down, okay? That bartering, get them to go down. I have to say my mom was an expert at that. I never bought a used car without taking her along when I was younger. I remember vividly one time, I was so embarrassed. We were talking to a dealer, as a guy in our own hometown of Edgerton, Minnesota, and we were there looking at a couple of cars, and one kind of stood out to me. I would like to get that. And my mom asked the dealer, now, how much are you going to charge for that? And he gave a price, and my mom said, I don't believe it. You're going to have to go early Sunday morning to confession if you charge that much. Oh, Mom, don't say that. Okay. Well, of course, he using the guilt card to have him bring it. Okay. That bartering, bargaining back and forth, that's giving and receiving. That's the term he uses. Giving, receiving. Okay. It shows up again in verses 17 and 18. The last part of verse 17. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Okay. What I desire is that in your giving, that may more be credited to your account. That's a bookkeeping term. What's he saying? This is an investment. You're going to get reward points for this. It's being tallied. We're told in Scripture about all our good deeds. Somehow that has an effect on our eternal glory. Our good deeds never bring us to heaven, but we bring them with us. Your reward points are being added to your account by your giving. Verse 18, the first part. He says, I have received full payment. That's a receipt. He's saying to you, to them, you've gotten a receipt. You see, what he's showing here is that, and here's the blank in the outline, this giving is almost like a business exchange with God. God, I'm giving. I have the privilege to be used by you. And God in turn says, okay, I'm going to bless you richly. It's hard to read you guys. What do you think of this? I have to tell you that over the years, I've heard this kind of thing and I've recoiled. I don't like it. I remember when I was young, I think I was still in high school, and I just liked to occasionally to watch these televangelists, and it made me sick asking for money again. And one time I was going through the radio, and I was fascinated with this preacher over the radio, and the way he got all excited saying, God says that if you give, he will bless you double for your money. So you send us $100 and God will give you $200. I made a mental note. I'm going to go home and write them a note and say, I tell you what, I'll give you a better deal. You send me $100 and God will bless you with $200. I thought, well, I was in my cynical phase. All right. I don't like to hear that. But I read God's word, and there's an element of truth to it. I have to be careful of my cynicism. I have to realize that God does bless us if we are a giving people. That's what he says. And I can't, it's not my business to disagree with him. So, how does God bless us when in our giving? How does he do this? Well, maybe he'll kind of gives us more security financially. But there's other ways too. This kind of hit me one time when I was in college. As a freshman, we weren't allowed to have a car on campus unless you live locally. Well, I lived an hour from campus, so that's local for me. So I had my car there. Well, there are other kids that had their cars too. And my friends and buddies in the dorm would ask the friends, can I borrow your car? Can I borrow your car? I don't know of a single other person that said, yeah, you can borrow my car. Me? I said, sure. So I was lending out my car right and left. And I noticed something at one time. Most of my friends that had their cars there, their cars were breaking down. Mine didn't. Now, you may say that's a stretch, but do you think God was blessing me because I was giving? I trust the Lord that you did that for me. How does God bless you as you give? Sometimes he can just bless you with the pure joy of giving, knowing that you're making a difference in this world. Sometimes the giving can expand our world. I'm so glad I could go to Jesus. Is that the right direction? I think that's the direction for Jesus on Colfax. I got to meet some people there. Give to that. My world has become bigger. I'm not all focused on myself. Our giving can make our world much bigger. It can build up our faith. Many other ways. And then just the pure joy of heaven, just knowing that we had the privilege to be used by God. A little bit more on this. Verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs. What needs? Physical needs, health needs, clothing, shelter, security, emotional needs, friendships, respect, love, fulfillment, spiritual needs to know your Creator, to be filled with His Spirit. God will meet all your needs. Now get this. According to all